The article about Martha Gellhorn on pages 14 and 15 was taken from Marie Claire. Fearless on the front line.
It's June 1944, the night of the D-Day landings. Hidden in the lavatory of a hospital ship bound for Omaha Beach, Martha Gellhorn drinks whiskey to calm her nerves and waits to witness the invasion at first hand. She has no right to be here. Her husband, the writer Ernest Hemingway, has used his fame to replace her as the lead war correspondent on US magazine Collier's. Left without official journalist accreditation, she has sneaked on board, claiming she will interview the nurses. Instead, she emerges into a battle zone, watching the drowned soldiers float past the ship. She spends hours helping where she can, as surgeons operate on the wounded. She wades ashore with the ambulance teams to collect casualties, then walks through minefields to see a village destroyed by shelling, its church like a collapsed paper bag. As dawn rises, the ship heads back to England. On arrival, she's arrested by military police for crossing to France without permission and is confined in a training camp for American nurses, from which she escapes by crawling under the fence. Hemingway is furious that, of the two of them, she is the one who actually took part in the landings. He filed his story without leaving his ship. Martha Gellhorn blazed a trail across 20th century journalism, risking her life in the Spanish Civil War, reporting on the horrors of Dachau concentration camp and the napalm deaths of children in Vietnam. She was famously beautiful and modelled for Chanel and Schiaparelli. She wrote 13 novels, married twice, had scores of lovers, and counted everyone from Eleanor Roosevelt to Marlon Brando as friends. She was raped on a beach in Africa at the age of 79, but was obsessed with snorkeling into her 80s. Gellhorn died in London, but she was born in the US, in St. Louis, Missouri. Her family were middle-class liberals. Her father was a doctor, her mother a suffragette. They were a talking family, encouraging Gellhorn and her three brothers to recount their day's adventures at the dinner table. Unusually for the time, they would regularly invite black friends to dinner, and the children were not allowed to refer to people by their race or colour. Gellhorn was sent to the progressive East Coast College, Bryn Mawr, but dropped out before graduating, saying a degree would qualify her only for the kind of job she would never want. In 1930, at the age of 21, she fled to Paris with $75 and a desire to become a foreign correspondent. She found work with the United Press Bureau and had an affair with the radical journalist Bertrand de Jouvenel. She returned to America in 1934 and began reporting on the Great Depression. Her sadly honest descriptions of the effects of poverty on America's rural communities developed into her passionate, engaged style of journalism. Broadcaster and journalist John Snow, who knew Gellhorn in her later years, says she had an authority derived from getting to the physical heart of everything she reported on. And let's face it, she was a woman at the cutting edge of the fast-evolving world of journalism in a time when women were few.